Good morning. My talk is about holistic food systems, and there's a picture of coffee. So that doesn't represent the food at all, but I'm basically working on coffee, and I could even, I think, live on coffee alone. But sometimes I need a little bit of raw food and other types of food. We will talk about coffee as a result of my exploration through the food systems. I'm basically from Spain. I'm a cook. And in Spain, the food is awesome and the diet is really healthy. And I had access to all types of food and I really enjoy myself. But I never had the thought of knowing more about the food from the rich picture, from the holistic perspective. I was only looking at food from the consumer point of view. I'm hungry, I go to the shop, I choose the product, I buy the product, I cook the product, I eat and enjoy, and that's over. And I'm very grateful to come to Oroville. I came here, I think, 15 years ago. And in this place, it's so special because then it makes you think really deeply about what you do every day and how you do it. And then I realize that actually food has a lot of things to say. And there is a lot of people and resources that they are working to make the food available to us. So,
middle.
Okay, so food, holistic systems. So this is a kind of a diagram where we see a system basically is formed by two things. One is the parts of the system, and the other is the relationship between the parts, among the parts. So talking about food, each of us can make out its own theory, but I feel pretty comfortable to see there are three elements that repeat all the time in food, and I call this trilogy of soil and soul and society. These three things are all the time present in our food. And so through that, through these lenses, I try to understand why I eat and what I do with my food and what is the impact I'm having on nature, on society, and in myself while eating. So I try to make this ordinary act of eating, where everybody needs to eat and eat and eat, I try to make this ordinary act into something really extraordinary, something that I can really enjoy and understand and helps me to widen my perspective and understanding of how things work. So we have this trilogy of soil, soil and society. Soil, it's always related to the resources that is used to produce the food. In that sense, it's earth, nature, water, soil, what Priya said about the soil and the water, all the elements that helps food to grow. Then we have the soul aspect, can be also like symbolized by the seed. A little seed contains everything for the plant to grow. It's very condensed, but also we can relate later on to other things and diversity, rich, lots of types of food. And then we have the third one, which is society, which is us. We all gather around food. Food is very social. And so we come humanity, and humanity is driven by some values. And these values really determine which type of food you eat. Sorry. Here you are. Going a bit fast, soil, soil, and society go again to what I said. So try to see when you're going to eat, try to have this little moment of thinking. When you drink a cup of coffee or when you eat your salad or your soup, try to make the exercise of how much resources has been used to produce the food I'm eating now. The soul aspect is what also Priya said, is about your vision, it's about your inner offering, where your connection with the divine. In India, it's very, very common in Pongal to offer food to the gods, to kind of a movement of gratitude and respect. And in Europe also we have many, many festivals that they are related to food. So the soul aspect is very important. Farmers in Oroville do farming not just for the sake of producing food. It's part of their inner development, their yoga. So food with a soul, it's very important. And society, lifestyle, modern lifestyle is telling us what to eat, what is cool to eat, what is not so cool to eat, what is convenient. We are running out of time. We don't have time to think about our food. So food needs to be convenient, easily accessible. But the tragedy is that even if it's very convenient, we run out of time anyway. We are all busy running up and down. So, and then we have the media exposure, which is telling us what to eat. But there is a very nice point here in society that is what Hai said. We have a tremendous, tremendous power as a consumers. If we want to wish to make a change, we can do it. So that can be turned into a positive aspect of these systems. So food circles, I think more or less, it's been now experimentation and practice is going on around the world, in the States, many, many countries. Our village is a small example of what can be done. It's starting to happen. And basically, food is a community-based food system. It's a biocentric approach. We already repeat again and again. I think it's very important to understand what means that. We always talk about health for me. The food is healthy for me. But we never think about what about the rest? What about the other animals? What about the life forms around? That it's part of the ecosystem. So when we plan food circles, we always try to understand what is involved, well, how many lives, type of lives are involved. And then we have four basic principles. I mean, I'm going to go fast because there's so many slides. And then later on this, you can have access to the website. Four principles: ecological wisdom, social justice, and grassroots democracy, and common values. So ecological wisdom, as I repeat, try to understand the forces of nature and work in harmony with them. We never, never waste in nature. Waste doesn't exist at all. Everything is being used for something. So we don't waste anything when we do food processing or we discard food. As much as we can, with what is available in our bioregion. And when we pack the products, because we need to pack it in a certain way to preserve certain qualities of the food, we try to do it in products that can easily degrade. Social justice. That's something that is happening around the world. Farmers are the last one to take care. They are the ones that work the harder for us to eat, but they are the ones that they get less benefits. So this social justice is very important. It's what we are trying to do with community-supported agriculture. And there's a main trend here when consumers and producers of food are united. And now the common trend is that are totally divided. Actually, they try to divide as much as we can, consumers and producers. So you are, no, this is not my concern. I just want to eat something, and this is their problem. And we'll find out that this is not their problem, it's our problem. So all the community members have access to healthy food. That's basic human rights, no? Okay. Grassroots democracy. Food security must be controlled by the community, not by huge companies. And this is what is happening today. 95% of the seed market, the worldwide seed market, is controlled by only one corporation. That's dangerous. That's very scary. Because we don't have a say anymore. They have. They control. Who control the seed, control the food chain. So here, we need to change that. By creating seed banks in the bioregion, try to preserve all this diversity, all this wealth that belongs to all of us, not to one corporation, and try to propagate these seeds and distribute it around. But it has been done in our will very successfully. Common values. Societies are driven by values. So by the way a society performs, you can see which values are at the core. So what are the core values here? So first of all, animals that provide us food are treated with dignity and respect. They are not looked at simple objects like protein or something like that. And then we have very clear universal values that can be applied anywhere beyond your culture, beyond every Chinese or Japanese or Canadian or Spanish. It doesn't matter. It goes beyond. It's universal. And everybody understands what means peace. Everybody understands what is equality and fraternity and creativity and beauty and gratitude and generation and compassion. All this can be applied. And when you are driven by those values, I tell you the food tastes much better. What is ecological footprint? That's also an interesting concept is happening. Now today, if you want to know your ecological footprint, you can easily find it out in the internet by a set of questions. They will tell you how many hectares of land you will need to provide the diet that you need to survive. So all these questions, I'm not going to go now one by one because there's so many of them, and I want you to go out of this presentation with a little bit of an essence of what I'm trying to say, and later on you can go more into details. Food processing, inquiry, it's all about asking yourself constantly, why, how, and like this you learn, you widen your perspectives, and you understand more. When I see a difficulty, I see a possibility of positive change. Instead of, oh my God, this is very bad. Okay, that's very bad, but can be turned into something better? Yes, let's identify those and let's see what can be done. And I think we have the solutions. We have the technology, we have the systems, we have almost everything. It's about just practice. Practice and be concerned. And don't be passive. Move on. So here we have a set of opportunities for change. I invite you to see that later on. And then let's talk about coffee, which is the thing I like the most to talk about it. Food and holistic food systems related to coffee. Why coffee? Well, I said I want actually to do something myself that can be faithful what I talk until now. So since I'm a coffee lover, I said let's talk coffee, let's do coffee and see what are the consequences, what are the challenges I'm going to encounter, and what, how I'm going to manage to implement all what I said. So I founded this company called Coffee Ideas, and we offer two things. We offer coffees. One of the, I think you will get a packet of coffee before you go. And then we offer also services. We will help companies to set up cafes, or coffee shops. And here is a little bit a brief of to understand the ecology of coffee. Coffee in India grows in the forest, believe it or not, and it coexists with indigenous fauna and flora. It's beautiful to see in a coffee plantation how coffee can really coexist with so many species, diversity. So it's a plant, it's very tolerant. It's intercrop with other products that can actually generate economy, income, livelihoods. So you don't depend only on one crop. So again, it's not monocrop. It maintains the humus in the soil, the moisture, because the shade of the trees, and acts as a carbon offsetting agent because you need to have a lot of trees in your coffee plantation if you want to have a good coffee. Here you have pictures of coffee beans getting ready and a beautiful woman harvesting coffee by hand, which is a very skillful job. Your coffee footprint, simple things. When you drink a cup of coffee, did you ever thought about how this impact on the environment about that? Just a coffee wake me up and has a good taste and carry on. Well, wait, just give a second. If you drink a coffee every day, a farmer needs to take care of 9 coffee plants. And if you calculate the amount, and it's an average, you will get 180 square meters of forest. It's a very good reason to have a second cup. Coffee, it's amazing. There's so many people involved. And what we try to do at Coffee Ideas is to keep that value chain alive. We go there, we see the farmer, we see the woman who sorts out the coffee, we see how the coffee is being processed, we understand, and we try to connect, we try to understand, and with the customers that they use, they buy our coffee and they want to know really, really by themselves what is all that, we go and visit the places and experience the beauty of the coffee production. The economy of coffee, believe it or not, coffee is the second most traded commodity after oil. That is huge. Means that if we are able to change coffee systems into holistic coffee systems, the impact is tremendous, just by a little cup of coffee every day you have. But the crude reality is that most of the profits goes away from the producing countries. India is an example. But it's changing because coffee consumption in India is increasing. So thanks God now Indians have access to good coffee. But this is not the same 20 years ago. And still, I need to really search for good quality coffees because most of them, they go out of this country. They are roasted elsewhere in a developed country. The profits are made there. And here it's just a commodity where you have very tiny, tiny, tiny margin. That's not very holistic. And prices are fixed by the future markets. So again, it's a speculation, it's all air. The coffee, because investments are there, but it's never related to the real production cost. And this is a tragedy. There's so many coffee farmers that are going bankrupt because the people are not willing to pay the real price of coffee. But in a coffee shop in Paris, you will pay €4 for a cup. So the market is there. It's just about to change the way you trade coffee. Free trade versus fair trade. Free trade agreements. Everybody can produce coffee as much as they want. It doesn't matter. But it's not working like that. Then demand is huge, offer is less, quality goes down, and it's not sustainable. How ethical is your coffee? Is myself doing one of the things I love the most, roasting coffee. And I always try to have a moment of reflection before I drink my coffee. So I invite all of you, the next time you drink a cup of coffee, have this moment of reflection and ask, how are the people behind the cup? Who are they? How are they doing? Do you want to know more? The sociology of coffee. Coffee has become the social drink of the 21st century. And it's a phenomenon, it's global, it's going wild. Even in India now, coffee is becoming big time. So it's great because it's a good opportunity to create change. And coffee shops are acting as social platforms, which are very important places for people to interact and share ideas. And this is a picture of Auroville. This is one of the examples I'm talking about. That's a coffee shop located on the top of the solar kitchen. It's called La Terrasse. And here our coffee is being served. And here, this is real. It is happening. Milk is coming every morning from the farms, freshly milk. We boil it. The coffee is freshly roasted, coming from farms, which we know. Everything is done here. Auroville farmers, they come and supply as much as they can, as much as they need. So this is an attempt, and that creates a beautiful ambience, atmosphere, where community members come here and enjoy and have a good time. Here it is. And that's all. Thank you.